Well, this morning we're going to head back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And as we do so, we come to a really remarkable passage. We've, of course, been covering verse by verse, chapter by chapter in 1 Corinthians, and we found a lot of remarkable things. Well, this one is no less remarkable as we come to it. The passage that we have as our text this morning is verses 15 through 18 of chapter 9, and it's interesting because it's nestled right in the middle of Paul's discussion on Christian liberty, and right in the middle of where he discusses the right way to use our Christian rights and privileges. And so here in these verses, Paul describes the priority of presenting and proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think what we're going to see as we look at these verses more closely today is that he shows to us that any and all liberty that we have as Christians is really not for ourselves, but it's for others. Of course, we know that our liberty is to be used to serve the Lord and to serve other believers, but also, and especially, our liberty is to be used in sharing the gospel with those who are lost and with those who are in need of Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. I'd like to read these verses before we continue. Verse 15. Again, right in the middle of him discussing the right way to use your Christian liberty and rights, he says, "But I have used none of these things. I've used none of these rights and liberties. Neither have I written these things," previously in chapter 9, "so that it would be done so to me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity or duty is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will or unwillingly, a dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. So what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, so that I abuse not my power in the gospel." In the late 1800s, there was a missionary by the name of George Atlee, and he understood what Paul described here in these verses. He understood the priority of proclaiming and presenting the gospel message over anything else. He served in Central Africa, and one day as he was traveling through the jungle, he was confronted by a band of hostile tribesmen. Well, just like he normally would, he was carrying a fully loaded 10-chamber Winchester rifle. And as he was confronted by these tribesmen, he had a choice to make. He could first choose to shoot his attackers, but in doing so, he would run the risk of hindering the gospel and the mission work in that area. The second choice was he could choose to not defend himself and risk being killed. We would all consider him to have the right to defend himself. That was certainly a liberty that he would have had. But when George Atlee's body was later found in the stream, it was clear the choice that he made. Nearby his body lay his rifle, and all 10 chambers were still loaded. He chose not to defend himself. He chose not to use his right and his liberty to defend himself. He made the supreme sacrifice, but for what reason? He was motivated by his burden for lost souls. It was evident, because first of all, he was a missionary to a place that was very hard to live in. And yet, he also was showing this love for the tribesmen that were going to kill him ultimately. He was motivated by his burden for lost souls. He was also motivated by his unswerving devotion to the Lord. You see, like the Apostle Paul in the verses that we just read, George wanted Christ to be magnified in his body, whether in life or in death. And both George, Paul, and countless other Christians have used their liberty and their Christian rights not for themselves, but for the Lord. And also, they had their highest priority of presenting the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying. So the question I want us to consider this morning is this. What did it take for Paul to have proclaiming the gospel as a priority in his life? even to the extent where he would give up some of those rights and liberties that he had as a Christian. What would it take for Paul to have that gospel message and sharing it with others such a priority that he would not be selfish, but instead selfless? What would it take for George Attlee, and we could of course name all sorts of other missionaries and all sorts of other people, to sacrifice so many things in order to have that one priority of proclaiming the gospel message to others? What is it going to take for us to have proclaiming the gospel as a priority in our lives? What is it going to take for us to be able to make the right kind of choices, even giving up some of those liberties and rights, like George Attlee, like Paul, like countless others? What will it take? Well, this morning we're going to look at five things that it takes. And really, five things that you and I so desperately need. We need these things in order to make sharing the gospel and proclaiming the gospel a priority in our lives once again. You see, the first thing that we learn in verse 15 is that proclaiming the gospel has a price. Proclaiming the gospel does have a price. Are you willing to pay the price to proclaim the gospel the way Paul did, the way George Attlee did, the way countless other Christians have done? Are you willing to pay the price? Well, what's the price? The price we see in verse 15, where Paul says, "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me." Now, we've already been through most of chapter 9 here, and after spending verse after verse after verse describing the freedom and the rights that belong to a Christian, and the freedom and the rights that he personally possesses, not only as a Christian, but also as a minister of the gospel and as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he tells the Corinthians that as dear and as precious as those Christian freedoms and liberties and rights are, and we do know that those liberties are precious. Elsewhere in the New Testament it says that we are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ makes us free. But he says, as dear and precious as those freedoms and those rights are, there is something even more dear and even more precious. And that is sharing the gospel with others. Just like what he did when he first came to Corinth and he shared the gospel with them. Just like this prisoner did, I'm sure, as he was able to share the gospel and what Christ did with him to Michael. And the joy that it took in order to do that. And so, here Paul is willing to pay the price to proclaim the gospel to them and to many others. So what is the price that he had to pay? And what is the price that we need to pay? And are we willing to pay that price? Well, it's the price, first of all, of surrender. In the first part of verse 15, Paul describes how he is willingly surrendering his liberty in order to share the gospel with them. Look at the first part of verse 15 again. He says, "But I have used none of these things." What things is he talking about? What did he not claim? And what did he not use of what he claimed? Well, the rights that he mentioned earlier in chapter 9. What were those rights? Look back with me at verse 4. He says, "Have we not power or the right to eat and drink?" He says, that's something that I gave up. That's something I surrendered. I've used none of these things. Or look at verse 5. He says, "Have we not power or the right to lead about a sister or a wife as well as the other apostles?" In other words, Paul said, I have the right to be married and to expect support for me and my wife and family. And he says, that's something that I gave up and surrendered. He says in verse 15, I've used none of these things. And then in verse 6, he talks about another right. He says, "Or I only and Barnabas, have not we the power or the right to forbear working?" Remember, he was a tent maker. And he said, "Don't I, as a preacher of the gospel, have the right to receive support from the church as I do the work of the ministry and as I present the gospel and preach the word of God?" He says, "No, I'm surrendering all of these. Willingly. Why? So that I can share the gospel with you." What a price. He wanted to reach them for the Lord. And as precious and valuable and as dear as those rights were to him and other Christians, he was willing to give up those rights because sharing the gospel with others is so much more precious and so much more dear and important. And so he is willing to pay the price of surrender. And the question is, are we willing to pay that price? Are there things that we are willing to surrender so that we can share the gospel with others? our time, our energy, our money, our labors? Are we willing to pay the price and surrender even our rights so that we have the privilege of sharing the gospel with others? It wasn't just the price of surrender that he gave up, but it was also the price of sacrifice. Not only did he surrender his rights, but also in verse 15 we learn that he wasn't seeking them either. He wasn't seeking for them to pay him and to help him with those rights. Because after describing the biblical right of support for Christian servants, and this is what we spent a good bit of time last week looking at in great detail, from verses 7 through 14, he basically sums up in verse 14 that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Well, then in verse 15 he says, "Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me." He says, I'm talking about all this right and all this liberty that a Christian servant has to receive support from his church, but I'm not writing this so that you support me. I'm making a supreme sacrifice here. It is so that I can share the gospel more effectively with you. I'm not writing things so that you do it for me. In other words, I'm sacrificing it all. Why? Why would he pay this price? In order to proclaim the gospel more effectively to them. If we desire, and I think this is everyone's desire here, if we desire to be effective in sharing the gospel and proclaiming the gospel, and the idea of preaching the gospel really has the idea of not just standing up in a pulpit and preaching, but it's about the ministers and it's talking about you as Christians and all of us as members going out into this world and proclaiming and sharing and witnessing and testifying of the gospel of Christ. That's what he's talking about. And so as we do that, there is still a price to be paid if we want to be effective in doing so. And the price is surrender and sacrifice. Even of the rights and liberties that are so dear to us, we need to pay that price. Are we willing to pay the price in order to be effective in proclaiming the gospel? That's what it takes. That's what it takes for sharing the gospel to become a priority in our life. We've got to be willing to pay that price. But then also in verse 15, we see secondly that proclaiming the gospel is a pleasure. Even though, yes, there is some price to pay, we ought to consider it as a singular pleasure in our lives to be able to share the gospel. Look at the last part of verse 15. He says, "For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void." Proclaiming the gospel is a pleasure. Where do we find our pleasure today? Where do we find our greatest pleasure? For some, it is food. For others, it is objects and things that you can buy. Maybe it's a car or an electronic equipment. Maybe it's just people and family members. Maybe it's the holidays that are coming up and the enjoyment around the table. These are all good pleasures. But what is one of the greatest pleasures that we ought to have? We need to understand that proclaiming and sharing the gospel with others can and ought to be one of our greatest pleasures. So what is the pleasure in sharing the gospel? Why would Paul surrender and sacrifice so much in order to bring the gospel to them and to others? It's because he understood what brings greater pleasure. Now sometimes we do not share the gospel like we ought to because we don't think it gives us pleasure. Because there's fear and there's sometimes shame, or maybe there's sometimes some questions about, well, how am I going to help and how am I going to answer questions that might come back to me? We need to get beyond that and realize that there is a great pleasure in sharing the gospel because there's pleasure in the Lord. He says, "For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void." That word glory can also take on the idea of something that brings him joy and great pleasure. So what was it that Paul gloried in? What was it that Paul took joy in and took pride in? What was it that Paul received great pleasure from? Well, we already know that he wasn't talking about his rights and his liberties. That's not what he was glorying in. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians today that take glory in their liberty and say, well, this is what I get to do and this is what I'm able to do. Paul wasn't glorying in that. That's not what he took pleasure in. So it would have been fine for someone to make those void or to take those away from him. And they did, didn't they? You see, he was okay if his personal freedoms and rights were taken away as long as the gospel moved forward. So what was Paul talking about then? What was it that he gloried in? What was it that brought him great joy and pleasure? It had to be the Lord. And it had to be the gospel. And we know this specifically because in Galatians 6:14, Paul says this. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there's only one thing that Paul gloried in and took joy in and took pleasure in, and that was in Jesus Christ and His gospel. Only one thing. You see, Paul found greater pleasure in the Lord than in his liberties. And he wanted absolutely nothing to take away from Christ and the gospel. As Matthew Henry once wrote, it was a singular pleasure to him to preach and proclaim the gospel. We need to realize that there's pleasure in the Lord when you're presenting the gospel. Because you're talking about Him. You're talking about what He has done, not only for you, but also for others in this world. And we're able to share it because of the joy that He brings us in our life. And because Paul's greatest pleasure and glory was in the Lord, he found then that there is pleasure even in loss. Even in loss. That's why in verse 15 he says, "For it were better for me to die than for someone to take his glorying away from him," and to take that pleasure in the Lord away from him. In other words, he would rather die than to hinder the gospel in any way. So it was even fine if he experienced poverty. And we know that at times he experienced poverty. It was fine if he experienced pain. And we know that he experienced pain. All of those things were fine as long as the gospel is moving forward. And he even learned to take pleasure in those losses as long as the gospel was being presented. In 2 Corinthians 11:30, Paul says this, "If I must needs glory," or in other words, if there's something that I need to take pride in or rejoice in me, he says, "I will glory of the things that concern mine infirmities," his losses. The pain, the perils, the poverty that he experienced. He would take joy in those. Why? Because of the joy and the pleasure of presenting the gospel with others. He knew that there's a price to pay, but he also knew that there's a pleasure in sharing the gospel. We all sing about how the angels are rejoicing in heaven when one person comes to know Christ as their Savior. What about the joy that we have in our hearts in just sharing the gospel? But maybe we haven't experienced that joy because we're not doing it. We need to have that joy, and we will when we proclaim it. You know, if we desire to be effective in proclaiming the gospel, we need to know that there is a great pleasure in doing so. In fact, the greatest pleasure is in the Lord and in His Word and in the gospel and sharing that with others. In fact, earlier in this book, in chapter 1, verse 31, Paul says, "According as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. He that takes pride, let him take pride in the Lord. He that rejoices, let him rejoice in the Lord." And that is what it's going to take if we're going to be effective in soul winning and sharing the gospel. We need to realize that there's pleasure in it. Pleasure not only for us, but also for the Lord, and especially for the ones that we're telling. Is it your singular pleasure to proclaim the gospel? That is what it takes to be a priority in our life. So yes, proclaiming the gospel has a price. Proclaiming the gospel has a pleasure. But also third, proclaiming the gospel is a privilege. It's a privilege. What do you consider to be the greatest privilege in your life? A couple weeks ago, most of us participated in the privilege of voting. What a privilege it is to live in America and to be able to vote and to have freedoms. Some of the privileges that we have are having money that we can go out and buy all sorts of things that we need and don't even need, just want. Privilege after privilege after privilege. But what do you consider to be your greatest privilege? Is it the privilege of knowing and sharing the gospel? Listen to what Paul said in verse 16 about the privilege of sharing the gospel. He says, "For though I preach or proclaim and tell others the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not or proclaim not the gospel. You see, one of the reasons that proclaiming the gospel was a priority for the Apostle Paul was because he realized that it was his privilege to proclaim it. It was his privilege to do so. It was not the Lord's privilege to have him proclaim it. We need to get beyond the idea that we are God's gift in order to share the gospel. But rather, we have the privilege and the honor of doing so. In fact, anything that we have, He's given to us in order to do that ministry and to share that word. So we find here in verse 16, Paul showing great humility. You see, Paul knew that the honor was all his. He wasn't doing God a favor. God was doing him a favor by letting him do the work. He knew that the honor was all his, and Paul knew that all that he had, all that he could do, came from the Lord anyways. As Charles Spurgeon once said, all his gifts were borrowed. All our gifts are borrowed. His life, his voice, his talent were all gifts from God. And that's why he says in verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Where's my glory? Where's my pride? Where's my joy? It's in the Lord. It's in His cross. It's in the gospel. And it's in sharing that with others. You see, like Paul, we need to see the great privilege and honor that we have to proclaim and share the gospel message with others. What is this privilege? Well, the first thing that we see there in verse 16 is that we receive the blessing. We share what we've been given, and we receive the blessing. He says, for though or when I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. In other words, it wasn't about Paul. It was always about the gospel. And when we share the word of God, it's not about us. It's always about the gospel. And there is no greater privilege and there is no greater blessing than sharing the gospel. Because in doing so, we are helping bring life to those who are dead. We're helping bring light to those who are blind. We're helping bring hope to those who are hopeless. And the blessing is all ours, even though we had nothing to do with the gospel. In fact, Romans chapter 10, verse 15 actually quotes an Old Testament passage, and it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Even the foot and the feet of someone who's sharing the gospel, according to God's perspective, is beautiful. What a blessing, what a benefit there is, what a privilege it is to share the gospel. And yet we often don't see it that way. We often think that it's God's honor that we're doing it versus it's our honor and privilege for doing it for Him. He's letting us do it. What a privilege. And we receive the blessing. But we also need to know that the privilege brings about and will bring about a burden. We have and need to have a burden. Because it is such an honor, and because it is such a privilege to bring the gospel to others, we need to have a burden like Paul. What is this burden? Look at verse 16 again. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in, for necessity is laid upon me. Necessity is laid upon me. The honor that God gave Paul overwhelmed him to the point that he could do nothing else but proclaim and share the gospel. Have we come to that point in our life where we have been so overwhelmed by the gift that God has given us and so overwhelmed by the honor that we have and the privilege that we have in sharing that good news with others that we can do nothing else except proclaim and share the gospel? When he says, for necessity is laid upon me, he says basically that this proclamation and sharing the gospel became his duty. But he was a tent maker. But that wasn't his job. That was how he used to keep support. But his primary passion, his primary motivation, his primary goal was sharing the gospel. And that ought to be our burden as well. Do you realize that our careers aren't what make us who we are? As Christians, we all have a responsibility. We all have a duty. And when we become overwhelmed with this responsibility, we will realize that that is our career. That is our job. All of these other things support us in doing that job as we share the gospel with others. It became his duty, and it will become our responsibility And in fact, Paul says there in verse 16, if he didn't do this, he says, yea, woe is unto me if I preach and proclaim not the gospel. You see, his burden to share the gospel is so great that if he didn't do it, he would experience tremendous guilt. Woe is me. Do we ever experience that feeling that when we're not doing that, he had such a burden that if he didn't do it, he would experience tremendous grief. He would be sorrowing over it. And he would even experience tremendous gloom. He said, woe is unto me, or woe is me. Have we ever felt that way? When we neglect our responsibility, when we don't have that burden to share the gospel, woe is me! Woe is me! Because I'm not taking this responsibility seriously. I mean, what an honor it is for me, and yet I'm not doing it. If we desire to be effective in proclaiming the gospel, we need that same kind of burden. We need that same kind of burden to see that sharing the gospel is one of the greatest privileges and one of the greatest blessings and one of the greatest honors that we have as Christians. So the question is, where is our burden? Did this burden just belong to Paul? Does it just belong to the preacher? Doesn't it belong to all of us? Woe is me. Woe is me if I proclaim not the gospel. Where is our burden? That's what it takes for us to make proclaiming the gospel a priority. Not just where we live, but in where we work and in our homes. The gospel is our priority. And sharing it with others ought to be our priority. And we need that burden. We need the burden that we find in verse 16. Though I preach and proclaim and share the message of the gospel, we've got nothing to glory of. It's not about us. It's about Him and about His work. It's our duty. It's a responsibility. We need that burden. But we also see that proclaiming the gospel needs a passion. You know, with a burden comes a passion. When you have a burden, there needs a passion to go with it. So if you have that burden, where's the passion? Do we have a passion in sharing the gospel with others? Well, what kind of passion do we need? Look at verse 17. Paul says, for if I do this thing willingly, what thing is he talking about? Sharing the gospel, proclaiming the message of salvation to others. He says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will or not willingly, a dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. We need a passion that will keep us proclaiming the gospel no matter how we feel. We're all human. We all understand how our feelings get in the way of things that we're supposed to do. It happens in the secular world. It happens in our jobs. It happens at home. When you don't feel like doing something, you usually either muddle your way through it or you don't do it. Same thing happens in our spiritual life as well. Sometimes we don't feel like witnessing, and so guess what? We don't do it. We need this passion to go along with our burden, and we need to keep a passion that will help us to proclaim the gospel no matter how we feel. Because Paul was human too. And in verse 17, we find two different ways of ministry. We already read about doing something willingly and doing something against your will or not willingly. So when the burden is great and the passion is strong, we need to continue to keep proclaiming the gospel as a priority in our life. So what's the first way of ministry? And really, this is the best way of ministry there in verse 17. It's when you share the gospel willingly. When you share the gospel willingly, you need a passion. You need a passion because it's a delight. And I can imagine this gentleman that shared the gospel with Michael has a spring in his step, even though he's in jail, and may be in there for a long time. Why? Because he recognized the pleasure of sharing the gospel. It's a delight. And as you do it willingly, you experience that delight, and there's that passion, there's that spark. And we see in this verse, verse 17, that there's a reward when you do. When you share the gospel willingly, there's a reward when you do. He says, if I do this thing willingly, sharing the gospel, proclaiming and preaching the gospel, I have a reward. And we've all experienced times when our burden to share God's work in our lives is so deep and strong. Sometimes it happens here in church. But there are other times when it happens outside of this place. And those are the best times. Why? Because we see God working in us and through us to affect the lives of others. And we're excited about it. And we do things willingly. And we feel like witnessing. We feel like proclaiming the gospel. And we do so willingly. And we do it out of love and gratitude for what God has done for us. If that's happened to you, or if that's your testimony today, keep that passion. Keep that passion. Keep that passion to keep the burden strong. Why? Because there's a reward for that kind of service. Now, this is amazing. It's not that we deserve a reward for just doing what God has called us to do already, but God in His love and His grace offers us a reward for doing it willingly. But what about those times when we don't feel like witnessing? Or those times that we don't feel like proclaiming the gospel to others? Well, that's the second way of ministry there in verse 17, and that's when you share the gospel unwillingly. Do you realize that even if you don't feel like you want to, you still need a passion to do it? You still need to have a passion because it is your duty. There are times in our life where we don't feel like doing something, but we do it anyways because it's our duty and our responsibility. And that's why Paul says you have a responsibility. He goes, if against my will. The first way is the best way because that's the willing, cheerful servant sharing the gospel. And there's a reward. But then there are other times because of our human nature that we often do it unwillingly or grudgingly. We're a little tired or we just don't feel like it. We don't have the joy. If it's against my will, he says, you need to remember this responsibility. A dispensation. That word dispensation is also translated a stewardship. A stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. So for those times that you don't feel like witnessing, those times that you don't feel like proclaiming the gospel, you need to remember what God has given you and remember what God has entrusted with you. Every Christian has been given this dispensation and stewardship of sharing the gospel. Now, what is a stewardship? A steward is someone who has been given responsibility to manage the affairs of someone else. In that case, we've all been stewards at one point or another. When I worked at a bank, I was a steward of the bank. I had to look over the affairs of that house. The stewards of the Bible was usually a servant or a slave that was brought in to manage the household affairs of the owner, of the father, the husband. And so he says, all of us have been given the stewardship and an authority and a responsibility to manage the affairs of what? Of the gospel. And so there are times when we don't feel like doing our duty, but it's our duty nonetheless. And we've been given a greater responsibility than all the others out there, and that is to share the gospel with others, whether we feel like it or not. There's no reason and there's no excuse to avoid it. What would we do if we stopped enjoying the work that we do? Would you give up? Some people would, I guess. Some people would quit. But how many times have you woken up on a morning, maybe a Monday morning, and you don't feel like going to work? What do? You go in anyways. And you fulfill your job and you do your duty. You may still look elsewhere, okay? But you still perform that responsibility because you know that you're a steward. And maybe your heart's not in that particular job, but you have other people relying on you for that income and for that support. And so you do it anyways. It's always better and there's a greater blessing and reward when you do it willingly. But when you don't do it willingly, you kind of don't feel like it. You still do it because it's your duty, and that's the picture here. He says, if I share the gospel willingly, I've got a reward and there's great blessing in it. But if I do it against my will and I don't feel like doing it, I still need to remember that it's my responsibility that God has entrusted me with. And I must do it. I must do it. Remember in verse 16, he says, woe to me if I don't do it. Woe to me. So when it seems hard to serve willingly, or when it seems hard to share the gospel willingly, then remember the great responsibility God has given us to share His gospel with others. But you know, I'm pretty certain that a Christian who's witnessing, even when they don't feel like it, won't feel that way for long. Because the more you share the gospel, which is a glorious thing. I mean, gospel means good news, right? The more you think about good news, the more joy you have in your heart. Because you know the gospel has affected you and changed your life. And so the more you think about the gospel, and the more you share the gospel, and even the more you see the gospel at work in other people's lives, the more willing your service will become. especially in dealing with children, with our Good News Clubs. You know, I know that sometimes it's difficult with work obligations to, you know, participate on a regular basis. And I think we've, you know, got the staff that we need for our Good News Clubs. But if you ever want to come just to see what goes on in those Good News Clubs, you are welcome to come and see. Because you know what happens? As we dwell on the gospel and as we dwell on the Word of God, we see the work of God taking place in these young children's lives who aren't like us, who aren't stoic and keep our mouths straight and quiet. They are exuberant with joy about what God is teaching them, about what God is doing for them. And that joy is something that is contagious. And that's what we need to realize. Even when we're doing our duty, you're not going to do it as a duty for very long. It's going to be a willing, joyful service. And if you desire to be effective in proclaiming the gospel, you need that kind of passion. And you need a passion especially with a willing heart. You need a Colossians 3:23 kind of passion. Where Paul writes to another church, he says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." And in sharing the gospel, we need to realize more than anything else, it's to the Lord and not unto men. Sure, we're talking to others about the Lord, but the service is to the Lord primarily. We ought to do it heartily as unto the Lord, no matter what we do, sharing the gospel included. Matthew Henry writes this, "It is willing service only that is capable of reward from God." Do you want a reward? Then seek this passion. Seek this passion that comes along with the burden of sharing the gospel. It is willing service only that is capable of reward from God. It is not the bare doing of the duty, but the doing of it heartily, that is willingly and cheerfully, that God has promised to reward. If you want a reward, then seek that passion. And that passion is what it takes to have sharing the gospel as a priority in life. And then fifth and finally, we also learn that proclaiming the gospel has a purpose. What is the purpose for sharing the gospel with others? What is the purpose for us sharing the gospel with others? Is it just for the reward that Paul mentioned in verse 17? "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward." All right, I'm going to share the gospel for reward. Is it just that? Well, Paul gives us a surprising answer. In verse 17, Paul says, "I have a reward." That means he's not looking for something in the future. It means he already has the reward. And then verse 18, Paul asks, "What is my reward then? If I've got it, what is it?" And in the rest of verse 19, or verse 18, Paul shows that his reward is actually the result of sharing the gospel. Look at verse 18. He says, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I get to make the gospel of Christ without charge. I get to share it freely so that I abuse not my power in the gospel." You see, even the reward Paul received for proclaiming the gospel wasn't about him. It was about others. This was his purpose. This is why he did it. It was to present the gospel freely. That was Paul's purpose as well as his reward. That was his reward. "I have a reward. What's my reward? I get to share the gospel freely." The work was his reward. Now, we all have known people that love their work. And that's the best kind of work to have, obviously, if you can get to that point. But there are some people who just love the work, and the work is the reward for them. Some of these business owners that don't make any money, their reward isn't necessarily the money, but it's just being able to do the work. I knew a man in Shannon, Illinois, who was an expert carpenter and house builder. And actually in this church there were two house builders. One was very successful with his business and he made a ton of money. The other was not very successful, but he loved his work. And even after he would build one of these custom homes, as he was driving by and the house was done, he'd done been paid for, he would drive by and he would look over and see something that maybe could be a little better. And so he would stop, he would turn into there, and he would start working on the house that has already been built and paid for. And the guys would come out, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I just saw something that needs a little work." He didn't make a whole lot of money. His reward was the work, and that's what Paul's saying. My reward that I have in sharing the gospel is sharing the gospel. The reward is my work, to present the gospel freely. He says, "Verily, it's so that when I preach, or I proclaim the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. I like how the Geneva Bible translates that last phrase. He says, I make the gospel of Christ free. In other words, I offer it with no strings attached. You know, there's a lot of religions that are offering their religions, but with strings attached. You've got to do this, you've got to pay this, you've got to, you know, have all these different things. Paul says, my greatest joy is I get to make the gospel of Christ free with no strings attached. Remember all the strings that were attached to his Phariseeism? He says, those are gone. I've got the greatest pleasure in sharing a gospel that is free to others. Freely he had received. Freely he was going to give. The free gift of eternal life to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing in it for himself except maybe the blessing and the joy of sharing that truth that set him free. And the joy of seeing others receive it and being set free themselves. And that is our purpose. And that is our reward as well. But it wasn't just there to present the gospel freely. In the last part of verse 18, it was also to promote the gospel forward, to keep it moving. He says, so that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Basically, he says, I don't want anything in my life to hinder the message of the gospel. Not even my own power. And that word power, we've seen all throughout chapter 9, that word power means right and liberty. Not even my own rights as a Christian or as a preacher or as an apostle even. I don't want even my rights to get in the way of the message of the gospel. Even his right that we learned in verse 14 to live of the gospel and receive the support from the church there in Corinth to, you know, help him with his ministry. He wanted nothing to get in the way of the gospel, but to keep it moving forward. And if we desire to be effective in proclaiming the gospel, that needs to be our purpose too. To present the gospel freely and to promote the gospel forward by not hindering the message and its movement. You know, when this is our purpose, proclaiming the gospel will be a priority. So the question that we started with is this. Is proclaiming the gospel a priority for you? Is proclaiming the gospel a priority for us? In our church, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our community. I think we'd all agree that it needs to be more of a priority, even more than claiming our Christian liberties and rights. So if proclaiming the gospel is to be a priority, this is what it's going to take. Remember that it has a price. Are you willing to pay the price of surrender and sacrifice? You need to remember it is a pleasure. Where do you find your greatest pleasure? Is it in the Lord and in His gospel? If you're going to keep it a priority, we need to remember that sharing the gospel is a privilege. It's our honor to do that. What is your greatest privilege in life? Do you have a burden for sharing the Lord with others? It also needs a passion for souls in doing it willingly, heartily, and cheerfully for others. Do we have that? That's what we need and that's what it takes. But then also it has a purpose. Freely you have received. Now freely give. This is what it's going to take. If you're going to make proclaiming the gospel a priority in your life and keep it a priority. Isn't that amazing that Paul nestles into this discussion on Christian liberty and rights, this powerful message on proclaiming the gospel, because that's what his rights are all for. We are free to share the freedom with others. And we're going to get into that a little bit later here in chapter 9. But it's important for us to keep this proclamation, this sharing the gospel, a priority in our life. And that's what it takes. It has a price. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege. We need a passion. And we have a purpose. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for the privilege that we do have in sharing the gospel with others. And Lord, sometimes we don't remember or take seriously enough that it is our duty and our responsibility, but also has the potential to be our greatest pleasure. Father, I do ask that you'll forgive us for not making this a priority in our life. And I pray, O Lord, that this message and the work of your word and your spirit will burden us with this desire. And maybe at this point, we don't really have the feeling for it. But Lord, help us to see that it's still our responsibility and a duty to do so. And as we do so, I think the greatest blessing is awaiting us. And then the work will be our reward. Sharing it freely with others will be the greatest benefit that we have, and seeing how it affects the lives of the people that we share it with. Oh Lord, I pray that you'll burden our hearts and then prepare us to do the work. Thank you, Lord, that someone had that burden to share the gospel with us at one point in our life, so that we could receive the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from the power and the penalty of sin. And Lord, I thank you that someone had that burden and had that priority. Now, O Lord, help us to have that same priority to share the love of Christ with others. Thank you for the example of Paul. Thank you for the example of George Attlee. Thank you for the example of other missionaries and other ministers and other Christians all around the world across all time. And I thank you, Lord, for the example of those who are even in our own church. Help us, Lord, to remember that this is what it takes to have proclaiming the gospel as a priority in our life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.